third and final hour on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We were just on with Hugo Fugin talking about the Fuddy hoax, which is the book that he's authored, reviewing the cold case of Loretta Fuddy and what happened there. Now we're going to jump back into current events. We got a friend of the show and a guest who's been on many times, Sheila Zielinski, and her website is weekendvigilante.com. She's an author and a radio show host and much more. And we're going to go over a few things. She wrote the book Green Gospel, and she did this a few years ago, and is very relevant today. What we see with the surge in the news and talking about climate change due to the Paris Accord, and we're going to get into what she thinks about the decision by Donald Trump to withdraw the U.S. from the climate accord on the basis that the U.S. was getting the short end of the stick, and I'm sure there's many other reasons, one of them being, you know, the science behind climate change, or at least what the science that we've been given behind climate change has been proven to be government-manipulated data and scientific-manipulated data. And we're also going to get into more about the terror attacks and much more. Sheila, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back on, and hi to all your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have you. Well, where do you want to start tonight? We have the London Bridge attack that has just happened in the last 48 hours, and your book, The Green Gospel, we were talking about a little bit last week when mentioning the Paris Climate Accord, where the media, you know, lambasted Trump for pulling out, basically saying the world was going to end and it's all his fault. And then there's a lot of other stuff we can get into, so I'll let you start, Sheila.
Sure. Well, I mean, it is official. To me, it was the happy dance this week because we prayed and prayed and our prayers were answered. Trump dumps Paris just this last Friday, of course, and Trump announced that he was withdrawing from the UN Paris climate deal. And when he said we're pulling out, that was like news to my, you know, ears, because he stomped on the climate cult. And as you just alluded to my book, Green Gospel, that's what I called it. Forget Brexit. I'm calling this the climate exit. This is Clexit on steroids. This whole United Nations Climate Accord, Joe, this treaty, I don't know if people understand, this was the biggest scam and the greatest fraud of our era. And I'll also allude to this in my book. It's become a religion, this green agenda. And the head of the United Nations' own chair of their phony climate panel, the IPCC, he wasn't even a scientific advisor. He was actually a railway engineer. He said it on record. This isn't my job. This is my dharma. This is my religion. And this is a theological issue. People take climate change that serious when you got, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio running around on his private jets deciding what his response to Trump's pulling out of the Paris Agreement is. You know, we're proud of a president who is stating on record that the United Nations was trying to erode United States sovereignty. He's saying, hey, we don't want to give up our sovereignty so that the United Nations bureaucrats can redistribute our wealth and do nothing for the climate. And the UN has admitted on record, Doug and Joe, that they'll redistribute wealth by climate policy. We know it's all politics. It's not about saving the planet, and Trump is calling them on it. He's showing true leadership, standing up to the world even amidst a barrage of social media frenzy, and he's saying, you know what, we're not going to be bullied into your phony green fund and your lust for a global governance structure, aka a one world climate authority. That's what they want. We're not buying into this green gospel, your religion of doom predictions, failed climate models, aka, as you know, Joe, the hockey stick, climate gate. I could go on and on, but this eco-friendly, carbon-neutral, pagan death cult and the United Nations agreement would have no measurable impact on the temperature in, guess what, 100 years. So it has nothing to do with saving the planet or climate. The issue's never been the issue, and it's not about them wanting to save the environment anyway. In fact, Karl Marx would salivate at this idea of using phony junk pseudoscience and doctored climate models to, what, dupe the public into thinking they're responsible for heating up the Earth's atmosphere for what you exhale, CO2. I mean, how bizarre is this?
Oh, it's very crazy. And, you know, you make a lot of good points. And, you know, we look back to a little bit of the history, I guess the recent history of, you know, what sprung this back into the forefront of people's attention. And you know, some of it can be brought back to the inconvenient truth given by Al Gore in 2006. There's a great article. It's up on Hagman Report from today, earlier today. An inconvenient review 10 years after Al Gore's film is still alarmingly inaccurate. And this article goes through a lot of the claims that he made during his film, including, you know, how carbon emissions, carbon dioxide emissions, would spur catastrophic global warming that would cause more extreme weather, rising sea levels, and, you know, this would lead to the deaths of millions of people unless we did something to stop it immediately. But, you know, one thing that escapes the logic and common sense of the people who spout this nonsense as if the climate hasn't changed in the past, but then they don't look at is, you know, the science of the history of the climate. And, you know, if we believe what scientists say and what fossil and soil records show, is that this planet has had a history of ice ages and warming periods without the carbon dioxide emissions of, you know, machines or the modern industrial age many times over again. And there's been huge shifts in temperature and weather many times over on this planet. So we're walking into this being told that this science is the way this is. And I covered this last week because Michael Savage made a good point about this, you know, about how these people believe, how Obama would state during his presidency that the debate is closed, meaning that the science says man-made global warming is that, just that, man-made, and there's no room for any corrections or changes in that mentality. And Michael Savage went on to make the point that no scientific theory is ever, you know, completely closed or off limits. People are always able to go back and challenge the science and, you know, with experiments and theories and different things. And that if a scientific debate was closed in any or in all realms of the scientific debate, that, you know, great works and the inventions of the 19th and 20th century would have never been given to us. And I know I didn't do a great job of explaining that, but there are a number of problems just in the rationale when looking at the history of the Earth and what scientists claim, you know, went on during the history of the Earth. I think the last ice age was just 10,000 years ago. How did we come out of that ice age if it wasn't for, you know, increased carbon emissions? And you're right, Sheila, these claims of temperature rising are very weak because they're based on phony, manipulated data. So it's hard to tell what's true and what's not true. And this is where a lot of the people get, you know, run into this brainwashed mentality. They're being told, you know, that it's this, that it's that, and they just believe it. They don't do the research. They don't want to do the research. They believe that they've found some truth just because it's told to them, and it begins and ends there. And it's very misguided. It's very dangerous, but the disinformation campaign is working.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned Al Gore. He says the debate's over. You know, the science is settled. The science has never been settled, and science is never settled. It's ongoing. That's so true, he said, because there's never even been a chance for an open debate because Al mm-hmm. Gore refuses to debate his detractors. And by the way, Al Gore is coming out with a new movie, kind of a part two, 2.0 of this inconvenient truth or convenient lies, as I call it. He's also on the heels of that. Now, that is set for July 28th of this year, and of course, Paramount is saying it's getting really poor, you know, pre-reviews, not surprising, but Al Gore is actually back re-engineering the world, Joe, with a $15 trillion with a T, carbon tax. So not just as fat Albert Gorey, as I call him, the only client, you know, though I think the only green he actually really likes is cash. He's not just pelting us with this more nauseating, inconvenient facts. Oh, sea levels are rising 20 feet by next Wednesday. And, you know, 2010, New York was supposed to be underwater. Every single one of their predictions fails. And what do they say when they're called on that? Well, and it's like a really good example that Mark Morano gave on my show last week. He said, it's like if I say, Joe, you're going to die at the beach this weekend. And you phone me when you come back and you say, well, I didn't die. And I said, well, you know, it's because I told you about it and you probably would have drove slower and you would have took precautions. You still didn't die. So their predictions are never right. They always say, well, we have to wait 50 years to see what happens. But meantime, they want to get rid of our SUVs. They want to get rid of our appliances and swap them out with all this smart grid, smart appliances, smart meters. I mean, this is serfdom by stealth, as Huxley put it. We'll make them love their servitude. It's just like the Maurice Strong said at the UN Rio Summit. He said, this is a profound reorientation of every single thing you do. What do they want? They want complete control over every... This is all about control, Joe. They want control over every area of your life. So now, anyway, Trump, getting back to Trump's climate deal. So when Trump did this big announcement, look at all the opposition he's facing. I mean, the lefties, the liberal, I'd call them the lunatic liberal lefty lemmings, they're going crazy. They're melting down all weekend. Total liberal meltdown over his nullification. And what does that demonstrate? To me, it just really shows us that these climate change cultists, they will not stop until they just pummel the people with these fanatical climate change slogans like, oh, you know, he's totally given up on America. No, you know what this Paris Climate Accord scam is? It's a genocidal attack on plant life. And guess what? You know, Obama was famous for doing this. What did he do? He went to the EPA, got them to classify what you and I breathe out, exhale, as a deadly pollutant. CO2 is not a deadly pollutant. It's a God-given necessary byproduct for human life. It greens a planet. In fact, we need more parts per million. And CO2 has no correlation with temperature, Joe. So when Donald Trump is lambasted by all these, well, like today, for example, a German newspaper with the headline, Earth to Trump, F blank blank K, you know, the word rhymes with truck, F U. So, I mean, not just the liberals are losing it, but now world leaders are uniting to criticize Trump. You got a U.S. top diplomat in China. He's quit over Trump's climate policy. What did Huffington Compost, as I call them, what did they print on the weekend? Trump to the world, drop dead. So it's okay for, you know, it's okay for the red-headed stepchild to hold up a severed head of Donald Trump, that degenerate, and just say, well, basically, you know, he brutally just beat me into submission. I had no choice. But, you know, what is, like, what kind of insane asylum do we live in where this liberal logic is even acceptable by anyone? It's just insanity, Joe.
Well, you're right on the money there. It is insanity to the highest degree. And, you know, what bothers me about it is that the government and the media have a incestual marriage when it comes to these type of whether they're international treaties or agreements. You know, we saw this with NATO. We see it with the TPP. We're seeing it with this treaty. And I don't know how much of into the numbers or into the science you want to get into this, Sheila, but, you know, Trump and his administration's made some good points as to why they were pulling out of this. Under this agreement, China, this agreement wouldn't even have taken effect until 2020. China would be allowed to increase their carbon emissions, which is the number one carbon polluter in the world, for the next 10 years till 2030, while the U.S. would have to reduce theirs by 26% in that same time. And we would be paying other underdeveloped nations for the carbon we did emit. So, and, you know, we have never Trumpers. We have the left, obviously. We expect this kind of crap from the left. But, you know, when we see it also from the right, and there's a good example of this, a story in Newsweek today ran a story claiming that Trump cited inaccurate weather reports as a reasoning for his pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord and suggested a disbelief in climate science. This, you know, from Newsweek. But we know that it was an economic thing, was the number one reason, and because America is always getting the short end of the stick in these agreements or in these treaties. And here we have, just as you said, the complete insanity of the liberal media. There was a great Washington, what is it here? It was the Washington, or the Free Beacon, that aired or put together a video on and recently released it on their YouTube channel. We're All Gonna Die, it was titled. And it was a compilation of clips that showed all these different, you know, pundits and networks freaking out over the fact that Trump was pulling out of the climate accord and stating, you know, we're all going to die. There's going to be, you know, mass deaths of hundreds of thousands of animal and plant species because of this. You know, we're going to have massive tidal waves, on and on and on. And it is just crazy. And it seems that, you know, like no other time in history, with the left-right paradigm, you expect the other side, to some degree, to you know, exaggerate with claims about the president. Now we have it from both sides of the aisle, where the Republicans, and even if you want to call them conservatives, in many cases are not, well, rhinos, Republicans in name only, are standing together with the liberals and attacking the president because he's an outsider. You know, if what do you think, say Hillary Clinton were the one to be president right now, and she were to reach the same conclusion, do you think she would be praised?
Yes.
How do you think that would play out?
Oh, yeah, she would be, because again, it's any time you have a guy that's coming like Trump, that's he's kind of classified as a rogue, out of control, vigilante rebel. I mean, even Ronald Reagan was classified as the rogue cowboy. Remember that? So I think Donald Trump should actually win a Medal of Political Courage for pulling out of this abhorrent treaty that, by the way, in my opinion, Joe, is straight from the pit of hell. Think about this, folks, this Paris Climate Accord, it would be the most expensive global agreement in world history. It's foolhardy, it's foolish, it's horrendously costly. We don't even really know where all the hundreds of trillions of dollars are going. And by the way, there's this green fund, I mean, that's a whole show in itself. So no one really knows where all this money is going, but we can guess, probably to line the deep state, the AKA, we used to call them shadow government pockets. And like you said, China doesn't have to do anything in this treaty, one of the top polluters of the world. This treaty has no basis in science. But actually, even worse, it has no cost-benefit analysis. It's like if you buy insurance on a place where, number one, your insurance policy is worth more than your house. Oh, and by the way, if your house, something happened to it, you get nothing. No one in their right mind would go for a deal like that. So even if you did, okay, let's say you have people out there that actually do believe in some of the United Nations assumptions and biases, every single thing they claim about the science, let's say you bought into it. Well, even if you did, nothing they proposed, Joe, ever impactably, you know, does anything to the climate. You wouldn't be able to detectably impact any of their so-called solutions, because the climate is really generated by the sun. And you know what? The climate's under God's benevolent design. You couldn't save the planet if you wanted to. So not only would you not be able to detectably impact the climate or measure the temperature difference in 100 years, and that's assuming all the countries did it right to the letter, if we did face a climate apocalypse, as they're saying, as Al Gore says, a climate catastrophe, well, you certainly don't need United Nations, as I call Satan Central, to sit there and decide what energy mix countries should have. These UN bureaucrats do not have to be in charge. We don't need central planning and global governments and global governance and wealth redistribution. We've withdrawn from a United Nations climate agreement. Need I say more? Because really, we know the United Nations passed. But you know what I was stunned is it's not just the liberals. You even have Republicans criticizing Trump. I mean, look at some of these even statements from let's take John Kerry. This is stunning what he said. He said, Trump is not helping the forgotten Americans. He pledged to elevate, remember, but instead, he's going to give their kids asthma. What did Donnie Deutsch say, that hack over at Clown News? I couldn't believe that he got away with saying this. He said that Trump is a sociopath, a degenerate. The ACLU, like we care what they say, they made this bizarre claim that leaving the Paris Agreement is a massive step back for racial justice and an assault on communities of color across the U.S. So global warming causes racism. And then we've got Fareed Zakaria. What did he say? Topping, you know, the crazy train a notch higher, telling Jake Tapper, he said, this will be the day that the United States resigned as leader of the free world. And I mean, Elon Musk, you've got all these weirdos over at MSLSD. Brian Williams, what did he say? Oh, it's a sunny day in the Rose Garden, but president delivered a dark speech. I mean, what is wrong with this picture? And then again, it's just stunning, the compost, the Huffington Post. Drop dead is what Trump says to the world. So, you know, CO2 is not the enemy. It is not. It is the God-given necessary byproduct of human life. And if we don't have a certain part, we die. So remember, thanks to Barry Barak for that, you know, beautiful little deal he did at the EPA. And so, you know, do the research for yourself, folks. This is, you know what this is about? It's about a manufactured problem so they can put in and do this research for yourself. Go read Paul Ehrlich's book and John Holdren, good old Obama's handpicked science czar, who said right in his book, sterilization, we're talking about forced sterilization, forced vasectomies, one-child policies. This is about depopulation. And people don't believe me when I say that. But I'm telling you, not just, you know, they currently met at the Bilderberg Conference in Chantilly this weekend to discuss what more ways to undermine Trump, not just his political position to pull out of Paris, but, you know, I'm sure they're sitting there wondering how they can, you know, orchestrate more of the shenanigans. Look at all these false flags we have every other day. We look at two separate things that have happened in France. I mean, the London Bridge was absolutely atrocious. And I said something where I got so much criticism. I said, when will we ever have the backbone to do what's necessary to obliterate these savages from the face of the earth? And when I said that, I actually, I've lost sponsors. I've got all my YouTubes, mostly like one out of every two or three is now demonetized for content. You know, you just can't say anything. You got to be politically correct because, Joe, we don't want to offend anyone, right?
Yeah, you know, and I know we haven't really talked in a few months about a lot of these issues, you know, the YouTube issues. We basically are not able to generate any revenue on YouTube, and yet they're still demonetizing our videos that they say that are able to be monetized, but there's no ads on them because, you know, I guess that's part of that boycott. But real quick, back to the climate and the importance of carbon dioxide. You know, carbon is basically, you know, one of life's, it is life's essential building block. And when I was on Dave Hodges last night, we got into a little bit of the science and how, you know, they say a big volcano eruption, it emits more carbon dioxide than our whole world can do in a lifetime. And if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about what, you know, this is all about money. And you said it best, where I think we see so much of this pushback because it was a scheme to generate wealth through taxes of everyday Americans specifically and, you know, industrial nations across the world. And as you said, you can't pay to fix, there's nobody you can pay to fix the earth if it's really in that bad a shape. You can't change the climate. The climate change comes from the sun, as you said. Stan Deo talks about it. Many have talked about it, and they talk about how it's not just the Earth who are witnessing changes, but all the planets in the solar system are seeing changes here or there that are related to the sun. And you can't control the weather on the sun. You can't even control the weather in the Earth, however much they try through their different mechanisms. And, you know, why would we see such, you know, this backlash from all? Look at the people who want this agreement. And then just on that basis, you know, we should be able to make a lot of these decisions of what's right for our country based on who is backing them in the first place. When you have the globalists, the heads of tech industry and banking industry and, you know, these political oligarchs who continue to not only, you know, criticize Trump, but call him names for him wanting to keep America first. Somehow putting America first has turned into, you know, being a hateful racist. I remember you mentioned a speech that Trump gave, and Brian Williams said it was very dark. I mean, think of the inauguration. Trump gave a short, very clear speech talking about putting America first, making America great again, and, you know, the people from MSNBC called it Hitlerian, called it dark then. These people hate America. They hate anything that wants to lift up and better America, even though this is the nation that, you know, they were able to, and these people make more money than we ever will. You know, spewing their lies on the news. But they are, I believe they're being paid to continue to push that agenda. And why else would we see this just huge, massive, you know, criticism of Trump from all corners of the world, from all industries, unless it was going to hurt their pocketbooks, or hurt their agenda? And that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, Trump says we could renegotiate this if the terms were better for America, but I doubt that he wants to do that or would do that. But it's unbelievable to see how far insane some of these people have gone. And I wonder if it's fake outrage or if they really have been brainwashed into believing that, you know, this is reality.
Well, it's not reality, but they've very cleverly conscripted this reality based on mind control and Hegelian dialect, predictive programming. I put this poster up on Facebook. It said, it's a little meme I created. It said at the top, we can tax the air and tell them we're saving the planet. Ha ha ha. And it's stupid, degenerate Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, and David the Hack Suzuki. But the, you know, back to what you said about CO2, the cabal targeted human CO2 emissions as its ostensible cause because, well, guess what, Joe? CO2 is the natural and necessary trace gas that sustains human life, industrial activity. It's not a priority for these megalomaniacs. That's human life being a non-priority. So to the, you know, the end justifies the means for these people, even if it means wiping out 6 billion people. Henry Kissinger drafted a, you know, this incredible document. People can look it up. Implications of worldwide population growth. You know, they're always saying, oh my God, the world is getting too populated. Ted Turner, you know, you can Google Ted Turner, global warming, cannibalism. We're all going to be cannibals in 10 years. You know, you got the Pope's handpicked science are running around Schellenhuber saying, hey, guess what? The Earth's carrying capacity should be, he told a New York, this is in the New York Post, this isn't Sheila Zielinski, saying the carrying capacity of the planet should be namely below 1 billion people. Look no further than the Georgia Guidestones. Look in Paul Ehrlich's book, Back to Him. An article of faith among these neo-Malthusian snake oil salesmen is that the world is getting far too crowded and something's got to be done. So what did he do playing from Marx's playbook? He issued this incredible sterilization policy. And when you go back and challenge these neo-Malthusians on it, they go, well, you know, it's just, we're just putting out a range of options. We're not exactly, you know, we're not really suggesting you do that. But why would you even put that in a book? That, and one guy's out there right now proposing that humans should be DNA genetically modified to be smaller so they're not as big consumptions. I mean, forced vaccinations, forced sterilizations, and forced vasectomies? What is wrong with this? Thinking about adding temporary sterilants to the water supply, that's right in one of the proposals mentioned in his book. I read it back to, you know, front to back, and I was shocked. And most people, they just think, well, Joe, we've heard every single day that, you know, this is what we're getting a steady diet of all these clown news outfits that are saying, well, it's the hottest year on record. 2013, hottest year on record. 2014, hottest year on record. 2017, and guess what, Joe? It's shaping up to be the hottest year on record. What they don't understand also is that to combat climate change, what they're doing is they're geoengineering us. They're chemtrails us. What are chemtrails full of? Barium, aluminum, other noxious chemicals to, quote, combat global warming. And a lot of people are out there, and I vehemently disagree with this statement. They're saying geoengineering is causing climate change. That is incorrect. They are putting chemtrails in the air to mitigate climate change. And could that be a byproduct of something? Yes. But listen, all the tornadoes, all the earthquakes, they're just, you know, there's no big massive implosion of all this stuff. You know, it's actually, it's lining up. If you take a mean average from the 1900s right up until now, there's nothing over the top about, you know, we haven't even had any F4s or larger tornadoes. The hurricanes are all, it's just, you know, part of the weather. We used to call this weather, Joe, and that's the stunt part.
Yeah, and what's interesting, you made a good point about the, you know, if you take weather statistics from, you know, the 1900, any time really, if you go over, you know, the last 150 years or the last 100 years of weather, there were a few years in after 2010 where we had a big increase of tornadoes, but that was only for a few years. And our hurricanes for the last 10, 15 years are, you know, dismal, almost nothing compared to what they were 25 years ago. And we always have natural disasters that happen, whether they're floods, earthquakes, you know, tornadoes, hurricanes. Those are expected to happen, but we've seen a switch in recent years where every time some natural event happens, they automatically will blame climate change. I guarantee the next, you know, earthquake that makes news, you will see tweets about how it's Trump's fault for pulling out of the climate accord. And next time there's a hurricane, next time there is a tornado, it's going to be Trump's fault. So it is, you know, we see the news trying to play this game of gotcha, especially with Donald Trump.
Well, Gloria Steinem just said on record last week that abortion is the answer to climate change. I mean, we're just told a week ago that climate change is causing a lack of sleep. It's causing, you know, every conceivable thing that you can think of, it's causing it. It's causing a rise in car thefts, a rise in sleeplessness, a rise in insomnia, a rise in, you know, you just fill in the blankets. This is all blank on this climate catastrophe, Joe.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, again, back to some of the reactions from the climate change Paris Accord withdrawal, because they're still coming in. Excuse me. This was from Al Gore yesterday. Former Vice President Al Gore made the rounds on Sunday morning political talk shows, warning that President Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Treaty will lead to the end of the world. I mean, man, you talk about a scapegoat. Trump seems to be the number one scapegoat for all evil in the world. They're even, you know, to kind of switch gears here, and we can go wherever you want to go. They're even, anytime there's a terrorist attack now, they turn around, and Trump actually was ahead of the game, ahead of many of the news agencies, tweeting out what was happening in London on Saturday. And NBC retweeted, you know, we're not going to repeat the president's tweet because the reports are unconfirmed. We see this constant snubbing. And here, MSNBC's Thomas Roberts says, is Trump trying to provoke a terrorist attack inside the U.S. for his own gain politically? And then we've seen, you know, even the mayor of London that told Trump last year that he better ease up on his immigration policy or he was going to see more attacks from Islamists in our country. The backward logic, especially with terrorism anymore, is just astounding. The Europe is a great example. Whatever European country gets hit with terrorism, you see people calling it, you know, radical Islamic terror, getting, you know, charged with hate speech, depending on what European country you are, and being called Islamophobic or xenophobic or whatever the word is, you know, and we see the backlash of the media is against, the media seems to be more concerned with protecting the sensibilities of Muslims rather than telling the truth about Islam or even about the terrorist attacks that are taking place. And the people, they cannot be happy. We've seen in Europe just the open door policies, and of course they are closer to the Middle East. They have seen a much bit greater influx, and America has been blessed or fortunate as of late. But you know, we saw Comey and the DOJ say that there was over 1,000 investigations in all 50 states of terrorists that they were investigating, and many of these same terrorists in the UK, at least in the last 2 weeks from the Manchester to London, these were people who were all already on terror watch lists, who were all under surveillance by the government. And now Theresa May is coming out saying we have to regulate the internet because it is the safe space for terrorists and terrorism. What do you make of what we've seen in Europe and even the media now going from the side of reporting news to making excuses for the terrorists?
Well, Theresa May, first of all, complete degenerate. She's just a Bilderberg puppet. I mean, the stuff she's saying, it is frightening. And, of course, you know, this latest attack comes on the heels of this general election. You've got this mash, you know, mishmash of national campaigning. And, you know, it's funny because all these libtarded, you know, heli weird crew, as I call them, every other week, it's, well, we just have to open our arms to them. Chelsea Clinton and Katy Perry says, no borders, no barriers. How about no brains, Katy Perry? I mean, these are the kind of ridiculous statements, you know, Hillary Clinton has said on record. Well, you know, we just have to open our arms. We have to be the great America that we are and, you know, open the floodgate. And isn't it interesting timing when Trump is actually trying to, you know, sign this executive order shutting down this flood of immigrants? You know, and look at the Supreme Court judges have done in the past. You've got judges that are coming out and ruling against the Constitution. You've already got the Constitution on life support. And I love what Donald Trump actually said in that epic climate speech on Friday. He said this verbatim. He said, you know what? The Constitution is the highest law of the land, and it is my job to protect the American people and the Constitution, and I intend to do it. And I thought, good for him, Because look at it, it's death by a thousand blows. Every single one of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. Oh, by the way, more gun control. You know, let's ask the experts how gun control works. Idi Amin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao Zedong, they all took the guns, and then what happened? So we all kind of see this tyrannical overreach of the, you know, out of control rogue government, the deep state as we're calling it now. I mean, it's just one of their many, they're hitting us from every side, Joe. They're hitting us at the kitchen sink. There's not a day goes by when there's not some false flag attack. Now, are people killed in false flags? Maybe. But it's hard to know what is even true and what's not. You hate to even think if something legitimately happened that people were legit. But no one trusts them anymore. No one trusts the fake news, Joe.
No, you're right. And folks, I started watching this clip before the broadcast, and it's about a 17-minute clip, and I only got about 4 minutes in. The video's on Real Clear Politics. It's on a few other websites. It is called Gorka. Gorka calls out Chris Cuomo for classic fake news, and they get into this debate about the travel ban. Chris Cuomo and Sebastian Gorka on CNN, and it's amazing. You know, the name calling and the reasoning. See, one thing that gets me, I understand how these people spin the truth, especially in politics. You know, when at least when I was brought up, when you think of politics, you think of the spin. And we see how, you know, even from, at least in my experience, from Bill Clinton to George Bush, you know, to Obama, the spin that these administrations are able to put on their decisions, on their policies, and you do expect a certain level of that. But we've went from, you know, normal partisan, semi-biased news spin to where we basically have all the mainstream news networks have gone off their rockers. They are all, there's no doubt about it anymore. There is a huge amount of bias, and they don't hide it. They don't care. They, you know, even the CNN reporter calling Trump a piece of, you know, crap, but not using that word, saying he's a disgrace to humanity, is the same reporter who was on the CNN show eating brains with those aborigines in another country.
Human brains.
I mean, human brains. You know, basically celebrating cannibalism through a diversity label. But see, this is what gets me. What the next Democratic president or the next president, liberal president, this is where I start to get concerned, because we see all the news media's true colors right now. And I would hope for most of our audience, well, for all of our audience, that they are able to see through a lot of the crap just by watching the news and seeing how crazy these people are. But what I'm worried about is, one, the you know, this political violence that we've seen since the election, since right before the election and after the election, against free speech, against conservative speakers or any speakers in this social justice warrior movement. Now, team that up with that political atmosphere up with a leader who is willing to, you know, use the government to censor opponents, or the next leader who gets in who talks about, you know, the right-wing conspiracies. Where could that put us? And, you know, the basic Trump supporters and the Christians and the more right-leaning, politically involved people, that could put us on the chopping block, literally, to be rounded up and executed. And I know we've talked about that a lot in the past, and rightfully so, because there have been government documents, plans, you know, laws put into place that suggest that this could happen. But never have I seen the atmosphere more ripe for that to be able to happen with the right leader coming along. Do you think this will all die down if they get their leader in, or do you think that this is just going to increase as we continue to move forward?
Well, I think it's going to ramp up. I think that the ISIS supporters are celebrating the attacks, and of course the MSM propagandists, they've been hard work all week at pushing this narrative of the religion of peace. Right, the religion of peace. Yeah, a piece of a dead body here and there. Come on, like, this is not a religion of peace. And look at all these narratives now. They won't call it what it is, a known radical Islamist, because you're not allowed to say that word. It was just a Pakistani that was deeply depressed. I mean, come on, Joe. Are people
an
buying
Asian
this?
Man.
An Asian man from Pakistan.
The UK. Yeah.
A 27-year-old Asian Pakistani who was raised by a suspicious group. They won't say radical Islamist. But again, I mean, I'd like to know if your listeners, I'd love to see what the listeners have to say about this phrase. Am I being too harsh when I say, when are we going to have the spine and the backbone to do what's necessary to obliterate these savages? I'll say that because it's a family show, from the face of the earth. Is that wrong? Oh, that's non-Christian. Right. I forgot. I'm a xenophobic, Islamophobic. What did Loretta Lynchpin say there? Right. We're not going to tolerate any, you know, we're not going to tolerate any anti-Islamic rhetoric. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah. I mean, that's that tells you all you need to know about these people. And when just the mere identifying, truthfully identifying, rightfully identifying the Islamic terrorism as Islamic terrorism somehow has, you become an enemy or a racist when you do that. And these people, this latest attack, these people, after they mowed down, the pedestrians in their rented van, they got out with their knives and said, this is for Islam, this is for Allah. But the news media won't even mention that. I just saw a report today, and I just posted this on HagmanReport.com. You know how TBS and other TV stations will replay old movies, and well, TBS is replaying Back to the Future, but they're doing it differently than they've done before. This time they are removing the word terrorists from the rebroadcast. In the classic 80s movie, a favorite for many movie channels, the TBS felt the need to remove, to add a modern update, showing TBS edited out the word terrorist and glossed over it like it was never in there. Why would they do that? You know, why would they take the time to do this? And again, we have to ask the question, why are you or I an enemy, or have our YouTube channel demonetized, videos demonetized, sponsors walking away for calling terror committed by Muslims for the purposes of furthering Islam, Islamic terrorism? Why is that such a bad thing? That tells me that there's not a problem with us. Even the terrorists, yeah, obviously are way wrong in what they're doing, but they're keeping consistent with their ideology. It's these people who control the narrative that, I don't know, they're trying to help people accept their deaths. They're trying to destroy the country through, you know, breaking up the cultural foundations that it was founded on. What is the possible motivation for not even identifying the reason of terror? And I say that because if there was a Christian or a self-proclaimed Christian who went out there and you know, bombed a church or whatever else, even shot someone while claiming they're a Christian, it would be on every news station. They would be Christian terrorists, Christian terrorism. It would be in your face, and it would be constant. But you can't even identify the ideology or motivations behind what these Muslim terrorists are doing.
Well, what's absolutely stunning about all this, you know, especially with the LGTB, oh, and now it's Q, by the way. I got to throw the queer
Q-T,
in there.
Hey, yeah.
That's not me. That's them. You know, and by the way, you know, every other day, this, you know, I was actually kind of laughing the other day because I was reading this list of 58 genders now. You know, so it's all this litany of gender, and a woman married herself a month ago. It's called eunogamy. So there's all this, jeez, you know, absolute craziness going on. A guy wants to marry an animal. Another guy is spending, what, $100,000 to turn himself into some kind of an elf. You guys have
a
seen
troll,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Some and then you have if people marry families, like mothers and sons getting married. And there was even a father-son who got married or was trying to get married. I mean, just the most. And this is being lifted up by our news.
Well, it's a sad state of affairs, and I think this all goes along with some of the narratives that they did, you know, after they brought in the NDAA. They took all these, you know, it was kind of like after the September 11, 2001. And by the way, that was TBS. Don't forget Turner Classic Movies. That's who aired the
CNN, Ted Turner.
Owner of yeah, clown news that we're all going to be cannibals and we got too many people using too much stuff. Go look that up. So it kind of interesting that's their narrative. But Joe, it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, I just said on a show the other day, I think it's time for the pitchforks and hitting the street here, because, you know, like this is just gone on to the point of, absolute three-ring circus. And, you know, when you've got this narrative in everything we do, and I think Steve Quayle, our friend, used the best line ever, the greatest cover-up of history is the cover-up. Why are they always covering up all these facts that, you know, are you'd never hear about this? So that's the thing. Why did they cut that out, Back to the Future? Maybe it's because, what, they think that by doing that, that's what, you know, maybe we don't want to hurt the terrorists' feelings, maybe. How about
sorry for interrupting, Sheila, but if I remember right, the Back to the Future movie, this is the scene where they're at the mall, and it's the Doctor and Michael J. Fox, and the Doctor, for some reason, is being chased by Turkish. I think he stole some uranium for his time machine or whatever, but he's being chased by Middle Easterners, and I think it gives him all the classic, you know, Middle Eastern look. But yeah, it's just amazing to me that they go to such great extent lengths to try to hide something that is, I mean, you can't even, for anybody who does, you know, one minimal layer of research beyond what the news tells them, you can't hide it. You just can't. There's too. We have the internet. We have a free flow of information for the most part out there, but people must have, you know, the fake news thing really, I hope, woke a lot of people up, and I believe it has. But it has not nearly had the effect that I thought it would. And maybe that's still yet to come. But just the fact that these news networks still have millions, sometimes, let alone hundreds of thousands of people watching them for anything more than entertainment value is still, it's baffling to me.
I wonder if Hillary Clinton was in that Libyan truck on that movie, because didn't they steal uranium? Uranium One, maybe that was the word on the side of the van. But this is the thing. You know, we still don't know what happened to all the emails. We never found out what happened with Seth Rich. And if you even talk about him, your videos are taken down on YouTube. We're never talking again about Comey's obstruction of justice by obstructing justice, which he did with the memo. So, you know, all that stuff went away. And suddenly, what's front page news? The redheaded stepchild, her decapitated head, and the London Bridge. So don't look over here while we've got all this other stuff going on over here. I mean, don't you find that the timing and all this stuff really interesting, when there's the biggest cover-up of pedophilia with Pedogate? What, they want to just silence that headline? I'll never shut up on that issue, because that is straight out of the pit of hell. But yet, every other day there's, oh, look over here, forget about Pedogate, we're on to the London Bridge now. London has fallen, Joe.
Yeah, and, you know, these people, we see, I don't know if you saw this, Sheila, but one of the most interesting things I saw from this latest London attack was CNN was actually caught staging a false protest by who they said were Muslims, holding signs that CNN printed, and they were, it was labeled a fake news shot. They were staging a false protest to shape a narrative that Muslims were speaking out against the acts of other Muslims in that country. And a person who was an observer videotaped the whole thing and posted it online, and that story has gone viral over the last 24 hours, 48 to 24 hours, and CNN has since denied it, saying that's not what they were doing. You know, but in the video, it clearly shows them giving the signs to the people, CNN telling people where to stand in the shot, how far. You know, this wasn't some natural, spontaneous protest that CNN happened to come upon. You know, there was nobody standing there in the beginning. They give the people them signs, they line them through there, put them all within camera shot, and then not only CNN runs with it, but the BBC, the AP, and a number of other news sources pick that picture up to put out there to create the narrative that Muslims are standing against terror in London, when that was not even the truth. They falsely created and generated that for the purposes of that narrative. And when they get caught and called on it, they won't even admit that that's what they were doing, even though they were caught red-handed on video and by other observers, not just the one video taker. So I don't know if you saw that, but that's definitely something to check out when you get a chance.
Well, I didn't, but, I mean, CNN, need I say more? They're one of the most inept tentacles of the deep state. You know, look at all their hit pieces on Trump. I was listening to some of them. I mean, it's hard to bear even 5 minutes of clown news, as I call them. Other people call them commie news network. But it is actually really hard to listen to some of these talking bobbleheads over there, because in the aftermath of this ISIS-claimed London attack, what do? They trot some hijabbed woman out there with a child to hold on to a sign expressing Muslim outrage. Oh, yeah, because Muslims are up in arms about Muslim outrage, really, Joe? I mean, do they think we're that stupid?
Yeah, they do. I mean, maybe not all of us, and this is what I don't understand, how the rest of the population is so easily manipulated. And I believe it has to do with, I think that Trump is a focal point for this greater deception by the news media, because I believe that anything that Trump sides on or talks against, whatever Trump does, these people believe the opposite, just out of spite that their candidate did not win, that you know, corrupt Clinton did not win the election. I think that is a doorway into misleading people about a number of other things. The climate, the Paris Climate Accord, the withdrawal from that is another great example. People, many of these people who are commenting, they have no experience whatsoever in actual, you know, journalism or research even into climate change. And when we look at this, we have to look at the truth. And when we see that so much of you know, how much of this data was manipulated for these scientists to reach these claims, we know that a lot of that can't be the truth. And you never hear about the, was it 30 or 40,000 other scientists who have all come together signing petitions against the science behind global warming. You never hear about that. You always hear, oh, it's 99%, you know, 99% of all scientists in the world agree that man-made, you know, global warming is real, and it's just as what we say it is. But you never hear the other side of that. So it's either people's laziness or it's their willingness to believe a lie. And I believe it's a dangerous mixture of both.
Well, it's 97, let's get this straight. It's 97% of 62 scientists we don't know what affiliations are with, but it's just, you know, the UN selected, hand selected, this little 67 group of people that are willing to churn out their narratives. So it's not even 97 scientists. It's not 97% of all scientists. It's 60. It actually is actually 61 according to new stats over there at the science.com. But it's really interesting that in this narrative, you have to remember that, you know, they're not going to stop until they impeach Trump. That's what all this is about. If he had said, oh, you know, we've got to go with the Paris climate, everybody would have hammered him for that. Oh, this is the biggest, you know, cause. This is a no-brainer. They will come up with anything they can to defeat what this man is doing. Because what is he really doing at the end of the day? He is really trying to make America great again. Because what did Obama do? Well, we all know what he did for 8 years of hell. So that's just it. It's like the scripture says, you know, when a man like that is at the helm, the people rejoice. He's trying, I really believe, that he could go off in the sunset years, take his billions, and go live his life. He doesn't need this headache, Joe. He could enjoy his grandkids and just forget about this massive headache. But instead, I really believe he thinks he's the man for the job. And I think that really says something. But here's the thing. You know, we've got a lot of keyboard commando Christians out there, and it's always crickets chirping in the church about any geopolitical issues. Oh, we don't want to talk about, you know, any of these geopolitics. But you know what? There are things that people can do. They can step up to the plate, quit being spineless, you know, quit being cowards, grab a backbone, step up, speak up, speak out, show up, speak up. You know, people are not showing up, Joe. It's okay for us to be on the front lines, but other people need to share the stuff that we do. They also need to make phone calls to their senators, to their congressmen, to say, you know what, we're not putting up with this crap anymore. Phone the CNN newsrooms and say, you know what, we've had enough of you fake news. If we had a million people that are willing to make those calls, Joe, well, I'll tell you what, we tell them what to do, not the other way around. We can shift this. It's kind of like that old, and I'll leave your listeners with this thought of that movie, The Ant Life. He said, if they all stand up, look what happens. Remember, he was alluding to the ants? You know, it's just one ant. But if all the ants stand up, well, guess what? The tides turn. And that's where it comes down to the Christians need to be actively doing something, making phone calls. And our prayers are so huge. I pray tonight that every single one of you would start a home group if you don't have one, start doing spiritual warfare for your president, for the White House, come against, bind these devils that are coming against, all these witches out there on record. Even the LA Times did a piece on, oh, their actual own reporter said, you know what, I am cursing Donald Trump. Are you kidding me, Joe? No, we're not going to put up with this at Christians. We have the power and authority to tread and stomp on these devils, and we should be doing that in spiritual warfare. Every morning we should be praying for this president. That's really what I believe in my heart.
Well, absolutely. And when we see, you know, just thinking about this today, the normal type of person we see that becomes president in this country, and then, you know, we have Donald Trump, who, yes, is a billionaire, but he's been a businessman his whole life, never involved in politics. And, you know, beyond that, first and foremost, is his desire to put America first. And the slogan, Make America Great Again, he's not pulling that out of thin air. It's because we have been on just a huge decline. When we look at what the Federal Reserve has robbed from us, not that he can get to the bottom of the Federal Reserve, but we look at the devaluation of our dollar. We just had G. Edward Griffin on, and I know you and me, Sheila, did an interview with him years ago, but we were talking about how much money the purchasing power of the dollar had lost over the last 100 years. When you see us being entered into these international trade deals that suck American jobs out of the country, such as NAFTA, and we were moving into the TPP, when we see all these different things that how globalism and the shadow government have been affecting our government and our policies, then you have a man like Donald Trump who's speaking the opposite of that and actually following through with many of his promises that he had before the campaign. It is something that we should get behind, because we're not, at this point, we're not even behind the man. We're behind the ideology of keeping America great, making America better, because when we have a better America, the whole world seems to be doing better, especially and only when we're not warmongering at the same time. But Sheila, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Tell people about your latest book. We got about a minute left.
Power Prayers. They can get it at powerprayers.ca. It's an amazing book. Go read some of the reviews. Just go to powerprayers.ca. You guys know I'm really passionate about the green agenda. So, of course, Green Gospel, my book, The New World Religion of Environmentalism, pretty much. Greengospel.ca is that book website. But they can find everything, Joe, over at weekendvigilante.com. And I just want to say to people, you know what? America is not the last bastion of freedom. It was the only one. And I really believe the American way of life is at war to the death. And it is time for us to do something. And what can we do? Well, we can start with spiritual warfare. I think that, you know, like Steve said, there's no political solution for a spiritual problem. And I just want to just say God bless your audience and you and your family tonight, Joe. I'm praying for your mom and everyone. So God bless everyone.
Well, Sheila, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fantastic hour. We'll have to do it again soon, and hopefully we can set that up before it slips both of our minds. Weekendvigilante.com is the website. Sheila, thank you so much for joining us. And that'll do it for us tonight. Tomorrow, we should be back to normal for the most part. My dad should be here with me. He hasn't been on the show in over a week, I believe. But we're going to try to get things back on track tomorrow, and it should be a fantastic rest of the week. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.